Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But as a battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I did remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views because it's Open Line Wednesday. And we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. But if you don't call in, I thought we'd talk about the upcoming elections, because I think that they are violently important. They're very, very important as far as the future of our society, and actually some of the legislation we have coming up here in California is violent. It's very, very important, and I would certainly like to discuss some of that with you. Now, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most important pieces of legislation in California is Proposition 37. And 37 has to do with labeling genetically modified foods so that you know that they're genetically modified food. That's what it basically talks about. But, of course, they have to understand what this is really all about. There is a population control program in America, and they're poisoning our water. They're poisoning the air with aluminum and chemtrails. They're poisoning, certainly, the food with genetically modified food and with putting aspartame into the food and by putting bisphenols into the cans and putting all sorts of chemicals into the various products and by feeding us with soy foods and certainly by using all sorts of various products which are poisonous to people. They're poisoning the food supply, and this is all part of a long-range population control program which nobody is going to be discussing. Well, now, certainly in Europe, they've studied genetically modified food, and they've outlawed genetically modified food in almost all of Europe. And, of course, they've outlawed it in Africa, except for South Africa, where, of course, the cartel there has threatened to cut off all European and American aid if they don't allow them to have genetically modified food. And so, of course, the Marxist government and the government in South Africa is straight-line communists. They're allowing them to put genetically modified food there. But really the only country in the world that really allows genetically modified food is right here in the United States, where they're using that food to poison the American people. And it's so difficult for people to really believe that this could be going on. And yet, of course, you'll find out that 95% of the corn that's utilized in this country is genetically modified, and 90% of the soy and soy products. And if you study the animal studies that are done on the corn products, there's a recent study out of France, and if you haven't seen it, we'll make it available to you. You can go up on the Internet and look up, certainly, on either my website or Russell Blaylock, about the French study on genetically modified food. But basically, it shows the effect on animals given the food for certainly about 6 months, about a quarter of their life. And basically, of course, the female rats develop breast cancer about six times more frequently, and they die. The breast cancer metastases, the male, of course, get a failure of their liver and of their spleen and of their kidneys, and they know this is going on, and everything is done to downplay this. They are poisoning the American people. They know exactly what they're doing, because the real game is genocide. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Allegiance to our from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, wide with hope. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
God bless America.
Don't be late.
No.
White with foam. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. It's Open Line Wednesday, and we'll be glad to take your call on any subject you'd like. But our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as Curses were pointing out, the Proposition 37 on the California ballot simply asks that the food products which are genetically engineered be labeled as such. Now, it doesn't tell you how terribly dangerous it is. It doesn't tell you about the population control program, which has already killed billions of people. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not millions, not just, but billions of people. Certainly, probably about 4 billion people have either been killed or they have not been allowed to live at all. They've been aborted or birth has been prevented. And certainly we probably lose at least 1 million people a day, if not more. And they intend to kill billions more. And all you need to do is read their writings. These people really do want to kill off the majority of the population of the world so they can have a ruling elite, enough people left to look after them, and they can take the world back the way it was before civilization came to mankind. And people said that is the most incredible statement I've ever heard. And you may think that, but I suggest you get our population control agenda. You can find it on the internet. Simply go to the internet and type in the search engine population control agenda and read this. I wrote it probably well over 10 years ago, but it is really as true today as it was when I wrote it. And of course, if you want the update on that, it's contained in the talk we've given a couple of times this year called Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. And there really are people who, of course, want to kill off most of the people in the world because they have an entirely different perspective. They do not look upon human life as important because these people are actually worshiping a different god. And incredible as it seems, I suggest you read my population control agenda. I think it'll change your attitude towards the world. If it doesn't, why, there's nothing we can do about that. But there are many other things that you can read besides those that I've written about the fact that there really is a population control agenda. Now, most people simply talk about abortion and certainly synthetic contraception and certainly sterilization, population control, but they forget about the other end of life, where of course we do have programs to do away with the senior citizens. We do this in the hospice, and you go into a hospice, the government won't pay for you for more than 6 months, and most of the people only last a few days. They're simply put on some sort of medication, usually large doses of morphine, and they're simply eased out of their lives. And of course there may be a place for this in somebody who is terribly incapacitated and in terrible pain. But this is not given to people who are in terrible pain. This is a morphine that is used to kill people because they want to kill them. And this is going on all across America today. And nobody wants to talk about that. And basically, of course, it's part of the program of trying to make Medicare work. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way we can fund Medicare. Medicare takes up about 70% of the expenses, certainly of our entitlement programs, Medicare and Medicaid. And, well, of course, we've got about between 50 and 56 million people who are on a Medicare or Medicaid today. And there are another 79 that are going to be on this in the next 20 years. And they simply have to kill the people off or the whole financial system will collapse. And they're going to have to admit that it's been totally fraudulent, that socialism doesn't work. And long before that 20 years is up, why, of course, they're going to kill off the majority of the elderly population, and that's part and parcel of what's going on as far as the Obama administration is concerned. And there are death panels, and there really are death panels. There are panels that will determine at what age you're going to be able to still get extensive medical care, and if you need a hip fracture repaired, or if you need certainly a surgery for cancer or for some other problem. Why, if you're too old, they're simply not going to give it to you, feeling the money be spent better elsewhere. And there'll be panels in Washington, D.C. that will determine who lives and who dies. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the Obamacare is really all about, and nobody's talking about it. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And probably, I know as much about this as anybody does. I know for many years, I could not accept this was really true. And when I was involved in the effort to treat AIDS and treat the AIDS epidemic as a public health issue rather than as a political issue, I didn't want to believe that AIDS had been actually created, as have so many other diseases, simply to kill off millions and millions of people. But of course, that is the truth of the matter. And of course, if you read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, I certainly talk about the absurdity of the public health measures, but I really was totally incapable of believing that anything could be that evil as actually to create a disease to kill millions of people. And yet, tragically, ladies and gentlemen, that has actually happened. And certainly they have killed probably about 40 million people from AIDS throughout the world. Another 30 million are infected. And of course, they are going to die. It's just a matter of time because nothing they have done has really been able to control this. They're not trying to control this. They really want to kill off the people. Of course, the disease is targeted at the black population because the elite hate the blacks. And, of course, the other inferior races, and certainly the blacks certainly make up the vast majority of the people in the United States who have the disease. Almost half of the people who have died in America from AIDS are black. Almost half of the people who are currently infected with HIV disease or AIDS in the United States are black, and they're all going to die because this is a racial design disease, and that's exactly what is intended to be. And if you doubt that this is really the intent, let me just suggest you get the treatise on Rebuilding America's Defenses. It's put out by the neoconservatives, Rebuilding America's Defenses. It's in my syllabus, I believe in sustainable development syllabus. It's certainly in our Agenda 21 syllabus. And there they actually say that now they've devised a technique by which, of course, they can create disease that are activated racially, and they will kill certain races off. They know what they're doing. They just don't want, of course, the public to know that this is the ultimate in racism. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open line, and so we will invite your calls. It's open line Wednesday. We invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Chuck, who's calling in from Michigan. Hi, Chuck. How are we doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. I really appreciate everything that you've done and that you're doing. I know you really put yourself out there. These people that are doing all this stuff have been doing this for a very long time, and, you know, this is no new thing. They've been killing people off for hundreds of years, and I think that they just got really better at it and that they made their mind up that they're going to go ahead and go for it now. And I tell you, I would recommend people to buy that book that you got, The Brotherhood of Darkness. I just got done reading that book, and it's a real good book. Got a lot of real good information in it, history in it, and it's tied into that, what was that? I forgot the On the Train thing there. That was an old movie.
You mean the film with that basically went into the Murder on the Orient Express is the name of the film. The Murder on the Orient Express. It had Sean Connery Ingrid Bergman and so many of the leading stars. And yet, of course, it was the story, the Monsieur Perrault, who was trying to determine who was responsible for the murder. And there had been a murder on the plane, on the train. And it seemed that all of the various people on this one railway car, all of them had a motive for carrying out the murder. But anyway, it's a fascinating book. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Once again, let me put out our telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY if you'd like to call in. But the whole idea of Brotherhood of Darkness is that there is a plan behind this effort to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And they know exactly what they're doing. They are organized, they're orchestrated, but they do not want the public to know. And the public doesn't know. They find it so difficult to understand the relationship between abortion and sterilization and what's going on in the hospices in America today. And, of course, increasingly the effort to get elderly people into hospitals, where we lose well over 100,000 people every year by so-called mistakes. They're not mistakes, ladies and gentlemen. They know exactly what they're doing. But they're poisoning the water, and they're poisoning the air, and they're poisoning the children, and few people care, and they're poisoning the forest and poisoning the trees, and they're even implementing and distributing pesticides that poison the bees. And if people find it hard anything could be this wicked, but it really is. Go right ahead, Chuck, and again, I number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, the book I didn't really know of you, Dr. Stan. Two, 3 months ago, I ran across you on the radio, and I've been listening as much as I can. And so I thought, well, this guy, he's just got to be in it for the money. But when they sent me the book, they sent me a package. It had a order forms for all them good products that you guys sell, and then it had another package of information in there plus the book. You know, I was just expecting to get the book. Once I got the information and everything, that, you know, I knew it was for real. And then when I read the book, I was really impressed with that book. I intend on reading it again real quick, and then I'll just give it to somebody else. But I think people should buy that book, get it, and then give it to somebody else.
That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the title of the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness.
Right.
Because it really is a brotherhood. Not one organization, but a number of organizations, which most people are unaware of. But they're all coordinated with an age-old plan of bringing about a world government and, of course, of actually killing off the majority of the people in the world. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Hey, Dr. Stan?
Go right ahead, Chuck.
Yeah. Today they have a hospital, so like a group of hospitals here. One of them is the Ford Medical Center. And they announced today that they got like 20 different groups of these different hospitals here. And they're all going to unite together in their nonprofit, which goes along with what it talks about, the nonprofits in the book, you know. And so today they made this announcement. And that's a big, major group that they're putting together. You know, they were all big, separate groups, but now it's going to be an amazing thing that they're putting together. And so that they can use that money, some of that money, to funnel it through all the stuff that they're doing behind the scenes. You know, and so I just read the book last night. I stayed up all night. I read it last night. I stayed up till, I think, of, you know, when I was listening to the show, and then till like four in the morning to read the book. But, yeah, I really appreciate that book, and
Well, you know, but Chuck, it's an easy book to read, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And basically, of course, we try to carry you along till the very end, but to explain what's really going on, because so much of what's going on doesn't make any logical sense. There has to be some sort of a form. There has to be some sort of a purpose. There has to be some sort of a design to all the things that are happening in the world today. The senseless wars, the new diseases that are coming up out of nothing. Certainly a change in the weather patterns, and certainly dramatic changes in that, and the fact, of course, that people are actually starving to death in various places in the world today, and it's only going to get worse. And as it gets worse, at least we will understand what's going on, and we can do everything we can to try to educate the public. That's our job. And of course, in the final analysis, what will happen will be determined by our Lord, because this is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, and ideological battlefield. But go right ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I think that what needs to be impressed about the book is that it does explain a lot of the things, you know, why there's a whole bunch of things going on that don't make any sense. And it does really explain why things are going the way they are. And it's tied together pretty well with the history and the different professors and, you know, the Yale University and the Skull and Bones and all the other different ones, you know, and it all ties together very good, and it's very factual, and the stuff can be all looked up, and you got everything in there where if you want to go look it up, you know, you can go look it up, and there's places where you can go look it up, you know. So I think that it needs to be stressed that, you know, that this stuff is real, and that if you're wondering why things happen, well, if you have any doubt at all about why things are happening, you need to get this book, and it will answer a lot of the questions that you may have. So,
Chuck, I'm so glad that you enjoyed the book, and I hope that you'll talk to others about what's going on, because the tragic situation there in Michigan today. Do you live close to Detroit? Where do you live?
Yeah, I go all over. We had a business that goes all over, but I'm very familiar with the whole area.
How is the economy doing? Is it picking up at all there in Michigan?
No, it's not going to come back, because just like what you got in the book, that stuff's going on, and they got a plan going on, and they don't plan it. It's socialism, and socialism's not going to work, and so they're, you know, they don't plan on bringing, it's going to be corporations taking over and buying up corporations. We've got factories, Ford over in China, GM in China. In China, this is
something that thought, I know. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got open lines this evening. We'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we have Chuck calling in from Michigan. He's just saying that the economy there close to Detroit where he lives is not good. And certainly a lot of our automotive production is being moved to China. In fact, Jeep just announced that they were going, or Chrysler just announced that they were going to begin producing their Jeep cars over in China, because, of course, it's cheaper to produce them over there and bring them back here than, of course, to produce them here in the United States, even with the restricted salaries that they have. Basically, it used to be that the average certainly automobile worker with certainly pension and health benefits was making, you know, $60 an hour. But now, of course, they're lucky if they make $10 an hour with another $5 an hour in benefits. And still, it's going to be far cheaper to manufacture the cars in Chrysler, which, of course, has been given away, not transferred, but given away to a member of the Trilateral Commission in Italy, now is thinking about, of course, beginning to build their Jeep cars in China rather than here in the United States. If you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, but people have to understand what's really going on. Basically, of course, right now everything is on hold until the election is over, but certainly by the end of this year, first of next year, while the taxes are going to increase, suddenly the spending is not going to be brought under control. There are going to be more and more people out of work. Today, 40 cents out of every dollar that the federal government spends has to be borrowed. Let me repeat that. 40 cents out of every $1 the federal government spends has to be borrowed. Basically, at the beginning of 2000, while we had a national debt of a little over $5 trillion, today we have a national debt of 12 years later of over $16 trillion. It's not happening by accident. They intend to destroy the infrastructure of our country with debt, is what they're doing over in Europe, and then crash the whole economic system down. They tell us, of course, that the gross domestic product is increasing 2% a year, and basically that is a half-truth. Basically, of course, with the inflation rate of 9 to 10%, and you can check that out on shadowstats.com, we're actually going behind about 7 to 9% a year. And basically, of course, we are in a recession. We will continue in that recession. More and more people are going to lose their jobs the first of next year. Prices are going to increase, and we're heading into a really a catastrophic situation here in America. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295, and I can tell you that certainly the people who control America are intentionally transferring our wealth to other nations, and we've set about 12 million jobs overseas, and those jobs aren't coming home because they want to destroy the middle class here in America, and they're well on their way to doing it. Well, if you agree or disagree, would love to talk about this or talk about anything else. Chuck, do you have anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Yeah, on that manufacturing thing, they moved all those plants over there. Ford's got a bunch of plants over there in Chrysler and GM. And so what's going on is the Chinese economy is starting to crash itself right now. And so once you get any wind of that happening, so they're not buying any they're not buying the cars over there, and we're selling the cars here, and so that's not working over there. Them investments aren't working because they're not buying the cars. We're selling the cars here, but they're not selling them there. And the Chinese people are laying people off, and they're having all kinds of problems over there now. And so it won't be long once we get that news until the thing really starts to collapse. So when the people that were doing sort of well start to do bad, which they're saying this now, that China is starting to do very bad, and they're not going to be able to dig themselves out of some of these problems that they got themselves into, so them investments over there are going to fail. The Americans are broke. They're not going to be able to crawl out of this, and this whole thing is going to collapse. So what I really want to say to everybody is I would want you guys to pay close attention to what Dr. Stan is talking about. The guy is 83 years old. He's was a doctor. He knows what he's talking about. He's done the research, and you better act for your family and yourselves, and you need to help him out as much as you can to keep him getting the word out. But you really need to pay attention and govern yourself accordingly, because things are not going to get better. They're going to get far worse. There's going to be a major collapse, and it's not far off, and we're in big trouble. And so now's the time when you still got a little time left to get it together. So just listen to his shows, do what he says. He's a good man, and he has no ill intent towards our nation or you. So listen up and do what's going on.
Chuck, I appreciate
it. That's all I got to say, Doc.
God bless. Thanks for your words of encouragement. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices.
Right in. Don't be late.
No.
White with foam. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're just, well, it's open lines. We're sort of talking about a population control and really what's going on in the world today. And if you haven't read my treatise on the population control agenda, let me suggest that you get that. It's available on the internet. Simply type your search engine in population control agenda, Radio Liberty, population control agenda, Dr. Stan, or just population control agenda, and it'll come up there. It's about 12 pages. You can certainly get it at our website. You can certainly, if you get anything else from us, ask for a free copy. We'll send it to you. It is the hardest thing for the rational mind to actually accept the fact there really are people out there who want to kill off billions of people. They really want to kill off billions of people. And I mean, we remember the Nazis. I mean, how incredible it was. They wanted to actually kill off 6 million Jews. I mean, oh, what a horrible thing. And yet, of course, if you read the writings of Jacques Cousteau, the man who swims with the fishes, in the November 1991 issue of the UNESCO Courier, he talked about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people. 350,000 people a day as you get the world population down. These people are deadly serious. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the average American to have any idea what is really going on. How could anybody be that crass and horrible? Well, you go ahead and you read the first Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society. The Impact of Science on Society, and we're talking about his book, page 103, where he talks about, you know, we really can't kill off enough people simply with diseases and with we can't kill off enough people with war. But, of course, what we really need is a major plague once every generation, and they'll kill off enough people so people can just reproduce as much as they want to. Read there. You can go up on the Internet and check out what I'm saying. Prince Philip, the consort of the Queen of England, has said that if he dies, he'd like to come back and resurrected. He'd like to be resurrected as a virus so he could come back and kill people and relieve population control. Certainly, we find people like Ted Turner talks about the necessity of killing off 95% of the population of the world. Eric Pienka, who is a professor at the University of Texas, talks about killing off 90% of the population of the world. Sam Keen, and you'll find these quotations either in my treatise, you can find them off the internet. Sam Keen, speaking at a conference in 1995, talked about the necessity of killing off 90% of the people in the world. And these people are deadly serious. Understand, this is not imaginary. They really do believe the world would be better off if we could kill off the majority of the people in the world. And so abortion and certainly euthanasia are simply a minor part of this. Basically, they're creating all sorts of new diseases. Did you ever stop and wonder where AIDS came from? Where did Ebola fever come from? Why suddenly certain types of influenza are quite deadly? Did you know, for instance, that Recently, our own government, CDC, spent millions and millions of dollars to actually create a means by which they could spread a deadly influenza virus, the influenza virus, avian influenza virus is certainly almost universally fatal in birds, but they wanted to find out how to spread that into human beings, and they found out how. They know how to put that into a form where it will kill hundreds of millions, if not billions, of human beings with avian influenza. And then, of course, they begin to debate whether they should publish this or not, and whether this was really, of course, proper thing to publish. How you could convert regular avian flu influenza into an influenza that would kill people. That is not the debate, you know, whether it published it or not. The question is, why do you think our government, officials in the American government, would put out millions of dollars for scientific studies to figure out how you could make a deadly avian flu influenza communicable among human beings? And, of course, the real reason is because they want to kill millions, if not billions, of people in the world. There really is a plan. And, of course, if you go into the Bible and you read Revelation 6:8, they talk about how they're going to kill initially a quarter of the population of the world with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and with death. They know what they're doing. Because behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got somebody whose name starts with D calling from Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, not very bad, Dr. Stan. The weather here is a little moist, but entirely agreeable. Nothing like in the Northeast.
Right. Well, anyway, of course, winter is upon us, and this is the time we need to get rain. I just don't want too much of it, too much of a good thing. Do you have a question or comment at all?
Yeah, I have a comment. Wouldn't you think, Dr. Stan, it's important to fight the near-perfect media blackout as to who our true presidential choices are?
You're absolutely right, and they don't. Certainly, the debates were only between the Republican and the Democrat and the Democrat candidate. They didn't want you to know there were other people running at the present time, as in on the Green Party, on the Libertarian Party, on the Conservative Party. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to have a choice. And the truth of the matter is that it's either going to be Obama or of Romney who's going to be elected. I mean, that's the only real choice we have, unfortunately, because both of them are controlled by the same wicked people.
Well,
go right ahead.
Barring a miracle or an act of God. And remember, we serve a God of miracles. But I just would encourage your listeners to go on their county websites in their county or their parish and download a sample ballot. For example, in our county, it says, for president, Libertarian, Gary Johnson. And he has vice president and electors. Democratic, there appears a name we've all likely heard before. Republican, there appears a name we've all likely heard before. Independent, Jill Stein. Independent, Ross Anderson. Constitution, Virgil H. Good. And he has vice presidents and electors. And what I just read, anybody can get on the Internet.
Sure, but the thing is, the reality is, Bill, even though what you're saying is absolutely true, they have such a control over the media that the average person doesn't understand this. That's the tragedy. So basically, you want to make your point because we've got a full board here and people have something they want to say. But what are you going to do? What are you suggesting that people do?
I'm suggesting to write in Ron Paul, but I'm also suggesting that they be aware of their alternatives and fight the media blackout and publicize the fact of the sample ballot wherever possible because it's almost a perfect blackout.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people are going to be very shocked when they get in the voting booth and find out, indeed, there were choices after all.
You're absolutely right. God bless you. And basically, we have a real problem today because most people are so busy being busy, making a living, watching the sporting events, that they're not paying any attention to the political process, which will determine the sort of world we're going to live in the coming years and what sort of a world we're going to pass on to our children and grandchildren. Thanks very much for calling. And let's, of course, go to our next caller, Bill from Tri-Cities. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Bill, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was wondering about, I heard on your show a few weeks ago, Bob Fletcher saying that he thought that all of the orders of this ammunition for these various governmental agencies like the Department of Agriculture and the Social Security Administration, and he said he thought that this was a front for the black operation. And I read in that Cox newspaper study found that FEMA's budget out of $243 million for emergency appropriated, then there was another like $2.5 billion that was for black operations. And so what I'm wondering is that if when these weather incidences occur, that this is really a part of a black operation and that they are studying how to either put fear into the public or get everybody talking about the same thing, or possibly studying how to put people away in camps and using the weather as an excuse to coordinate their operations.
Let me interrupt you for just a moment, Bill, because we have a full board. But basically, Bob Fletcher's point was that certainly the invisible government has a plan. We don't know what it is, but they have all sorts of underground facilities. They're storing massive amounts of food. They're buying up massive amounts of ammunition. Certainly they have a surveillance program to watch every individual in America, indeed most people throughout the world, and basically they believe that something big is coming down the line and they're making preparations for it. That's why they have their underground facilities, and certainly you can get that tape. It should be archived up on the internet, or certainly you can go up on the internet and find out they do have these massive underground facilities. And the question is, what do they know? Well, what they know is that something big is about to happen. We don't know what it is, but we're in for some catastrophic times. So that's basically the background, and I share your concern. Something big is coming. Our job is to get people to understand what's coming down the line, to begin to prepare for it as best they can, but to understand that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces, and the only thing that's really going to get us through this is our personal relationship with the Lord. And start praying for yourself and your family, that we can pull together and at least some of us will survive the terrible times that lie ahead. What's your parting thought, Bill?
Well, I just think that when these incidents happen, like on the East Coast with the storms and stuff, I think that that is a part of their studying for whatever they're planning for, because they have all of their coordination going on. So they use it as an excuse to move men and materials around.
Well, I think that you have to understand this is the worst storm, at least they're saying the worst storm in 100 years. Why did it come about at this time? Is it an act of God, or is it an act of man? Because they can create storms and droughts. And anybody who has any question is only to read Zygmunt Brzezinski, the man, of course, created the Trilateral Commission, who was a foreign policy advisor to both Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama. Zygmunt Brzezinski, in his book Between Two Ages, on the bottom of page 57, talks about how in the future, and of course he's writing in 1970, in the future they're going to be able to create storms and droughts and new chronic diseases. Well, we have the storms and droughts and new chronic diseases. Is the event that took place in the East Coast simply an act of God? Is it an act, certainly, of these diabolical people? Is it perhaps both of them working together? We're just going to have to wait and watch and see. Hopefully, one day we'll have an idea. Anything you want to say before we let you go, Bill?
That's probably okay if you have a full board.
Well, anyway, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling. I share your concern. Try to get people to listen, to understand, and to understand that there are powerful spiritual forces behind everything going on today. Okay?
Okay.
God bless. Thanks so much for calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, you have a comment, give us a call. But right now, we've got Tim calling from Illinois. Hi, Tim. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, yes, Dr. Stan. A quick comment. Now, last Friday, we learned that the Obama administration ordered a stand down regarding any type of military strike to prevent the incident there at Benghazi where the four State Department officials were murdered or killed. And to me, that was, to everyone, that was pretty much the final blow, I think, or to his administration here. And I'll be a monkey's uncle. 2 days later, we have this super hurricane slamming into New York here. I mean, we
You could look at this from several points of view. One of it is God did this, and it's a matter of punishing us for what the president had done. Or so the other people are going to say, well, this just just coincidence. But this happens so very, very frequently after there's some terrible event. Why, of course, then we see a natural event that follows that, and whether it be the storm that took place, certainly the Katrina storm, certainly in New Orleans, what was about 5 years ago, was to follow some major acts of certainly immorality. And in New Orleans, and time again, we can almost imagine we see God's hand in this, and maybe we're not imagining it at all. John McTiernan has talked about this extensively, and we have a number of interviews with John where he goes into the fact that God does bring judgment upon a nation that turns against him. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment. But right now we have Tim calling us from Illinois, simply pointing out the fact that isn't it interesting that the relationship between this catastrophic event that we've seen, certainly in New York, and other events that have happened recently. Go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, I believe it was an act of heart. We know about HAARP, what its purpose is, and what it can do. And I had another quick question here.
Our listeners out there, HAARP is a government program, and it's not only located in Alaska, but it works in concert with communist and other subversive programs throughout the world. It's known as the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, and it can actually heat the ionosphere, and it can create storms. It can direct storms incredibly. But go right ahead, Tim.
Well, Dr. Stan, where is Sarah Palin? I haven't heard two syllables out of her mouth for the last 6 to 8 months. And a year ago, you couldn't get her off the television. To me, this is just evidence of a compromised election here. There's no Daddy Bush. There's no Bush Jr. There's no Dick Cheney. There's no Schwarzkopf. There's no Palin, Gingrich, Rick Santorum. I mean,
Tim, I'm sure you realize, of course, that people can talk all the time, but if the media doesn't pick it up, you have no idea. So basically, of course, lots of people are talking, lots of people are on the front lines with lots of important information, but if they get the conspiracy of silence from the media, it's almost as if they never spoke or they're not there. And right now they're giving Sarah Palin the silence treatment. They're trying to focus our attention on this battle between the Republicans and the Democrats, and both certainly are controlled by the Brotherhood of Darkness. And would we be better off with one than the other? Probably. But of course, we just don't know. Because there is certainly a demonic program that is being implemented. And I think by next year, we're going to begin to see things really begin to fall apart. Tim, what are your parting thoughts? And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, Dr. Stan, all I would want to say is that we have to pray and we have to go with Mitt Romney.
All right, certainly I will not disagree with you at all. Some people say that I'm going to vote for Wright and Ron Paul. Everybody's going to have to do what they want, but I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you're suggesting. Thanks very much for calling.
Thanks, sir. Bye.
From button to button, caress. I'll give place. I'll trade my tomorrow just to remember your face. And the wildfire that starts with one kiss, 'cause there's nothing better than loving from button to button, caress to caress, my ear to your heartbeat, my lips to your breast, from promise to passion, our love has led.
This is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent upon those of you out there in the listening audience to help us if you're in a position to, and I know a lot of people are having real financial problems now, so if you can't actually help to finance us, we ask that you pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because I really believe this is what's kept us on the air. Almost, well, we've been close to 20 years now. We've been on the air trying to educate the American people about what's going on. And for those of you who wonder if I'm making a lot of money, I don't take a salary. My wife doesn't take a salary. And we work full time at this in an effort to try to educate the American people about the spiritual forces that are at work in America and throughout the world today. As we move into truly prophetic times, and the end of America as we have known it. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the America you've known is going to cease to exist. There are going to be dramatic changes financially. The federal government has to borrow 40 cents of every dollar it spends. How long do you think they can continue doing that, especially when the interest rates start to rise again? And they have to pay, instead of 1% interest, they have to pay 6% for interest. And most of the money that the federal government takes in the form of taxation, will be going, of course, to fund the interest on our national debt. And this is how great nations have been destroyed in the past, whether it be Egypt or Rome, whether it would be the French Empire, whether it would be the Spanish Empire, the English Empire, the German Empire, or the American Empire. We have an empire today. We have our troops stationed in 130 nations. Nothing you're hearing is true. There is a plan to create a one-world government using the financial and military power of the United States. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Agenda 21, the covert plan. Agenda 21, the covert plan. You need to hear my talk on the dark secret and on certainly on the dark secret and the foreign agenda secret. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. So you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or certainly you can listen to our programs there at 24 hours a day. You can 4 hours a day live, and the rest is archived. But go to our website, get our programs, listen to them, learn, because I'm not going to be here indefinitely. I'm 83 years old, and I don't know how long the Lord's going to keep me behind the microphone, but as long as he does, we certainly want to get you educated so you can carry on when I'm not here, when Barbara isn't here to help me. So basically, we are here as long as the Lord wants us. We do ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, but we do hope, of course, that you will watch our DVDs on our website, and that you will listen to our programs, that you'll read our newsletters, that you'll encourage others to listen to our programs and to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, but it truly is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Now, what's really going on in the world today? Well, America has been taken over by a series of secret societies, and there's not simply one. There are probably 20 or 30 of them, and they're listed in my talk on certainly the one we talked about just a moment or two ago. And of course, this is the one, certainly. And I had a little surgical procedure yesterday, so my mind is not working quite as well as I would anticipate. But of course, you go to our website, you can pull down our talk, and basically, it's Agenda 21, the covert plan. Agenda 21, the covert plan. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment with another program right here at Radio Liberty.
Ooh, a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And certainly this next hour, we're going to have Chris White with us, and he's going to be on Skype, so it's going to be sound a little different. Hi, Chris, are you there?
Hey, Dr. Stan, it's really good to be here.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and what your concerns are that is certainly so important that you're willing to take an hour and come on to our program.
Sure, thanks, Stan. Well, my name is Chris White, and I guess I like most people that were interested in these topics that are talked about on your show and others. I've always been interested in them, and early on though, when I was just out of high school, I'm now 33 years old. I really got into a lot of the New Age ideas, particularly that of it started really with Zachariah Sitchin and the ideas that aliens came to Earth and they seeded mankind and all the things that you would likely hear on Coast to Coast AM and those kinds of things. And I progressed in that for a long time. It really actually hurt what little faith I had in Jesus at the time, and I really kind of abandoned all any form of Christianity that I had, which looking back on it probably wasn't all that much. But over the years, I really became interested in the various topics, and particularly this idea of what happened in the past. And I started to realize that some of the things that I believed had big logical holes in it, that I was told by people like Erich von Däniken and Zachariah Sitchin. And I started to realize that I was being lied to, basically, on a lot of those issues. And not just those issues, but right around that same time, I was starting to find out problems with the things that people would say about, particularly about Christianity, the Bible, Jesus Christ, saying that he didn't exist. That was a big one that really hurt me at that time. And I started to find out that they were really based on these terribly flimsy, even downright fraudulent things that people would say to convince people of this. So to make a long story short, somewhere around there, I realized that it was, in fact, a concerted effort to discredit Christianity on really terrible evidence. That made me think a lot about why would somebody do that, and really a kind of a reverse going down the rabbit hole. People always talk about going down the rabbit hole. Well, I kind of went back in the reverse and started to sort of reverse engineer this deception. Why would this be like this? To make a long story short, I was saved somewhere along there, and my life started to change, and I really just got new desires for the things of God. And I really began to do an apologetics type ministry.
So basically, you came out of the rabbit hole and you saw the real world, the world as it really was, and of course, then accepted the direction of our Lord. So go right ahead.
Sure, and I think that somewhere around there, I decided, I can't say that I really decided, I just wanted to go back and tell everybody that in the New Age and in the occult, the world, although I never really got into the occult that much, it was still the ideas and the philosophy was certainly there. So I started making videos and radio and blog posts and stuff, trying to tell everybody, thinking, hey, everybody's gonna like this, but not a lot of them did. And for the last 5-6 years, I've just been trying to do just that. I have a ministry that just reaches out to them, and this latest project, Ancient Aliens Debunked, is a part of that. Probably one of the biggest documentary films I've done.
Okay, well, hold on. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Chris, of course, makes videos, and he's trying to get the word out, trying to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, and most people have no idea. Occasionally, we are seeing some programs on television. I certainly go into the demonic aspect of what's going on, but they don't make it real. They don't see how it applies to everything going on politically and culturally today. Chris, go right ahead.
Well, so that's what I've been doing for the last few years, and is essentially just trying to help people see that there is problems with what everybody thinks that they know about Christianity or the Bible or the various reasons that they've rejected those ideas is usually kind of based on a pride of sorts. You know, they feel that they've learned something that makes them more superior now because they have this knowledge. It's really no different than the serpent in the Garden of Eden, but it's a pretty common thing. But the problem is that a lot of those things, because the Bible and Christianity is true, they have to, those things that they think that they know are always wrong. But Satan is so good at how he tells lies that it's how he wraps these lies up that it actually takes some debunking, takes some refutations. In fact, the earliest writings of the church are refutations of false teachings, particularly Irenaeus, Justin Martyr, really apologetic writings are the oldest writings that we have. Most of the church fathers wrote because they were essentially refuting some heresy or another, particularly Gnosticism and other things like Docetism. But nevertheless, so this new movie, Ancient Aliens Debunked, was a project that was a year in the making. It was something that I really wanted kind of an easy button for, something that I could, when people would ask, well, what about the ancient alien situation, that I could just say, oh, check this link or check this website out, but there wasn't really anything like that. So I decided to take it on as a year project and to do the research and to find out whatever I could find out about various topics that most of which I had an idea what was going on with them. Things like, you know, who built the pyramids and Baalbek and Easter Island and the Nazca Lines, crystal skulls, Ezekiel's wheel, all these kinds of things that we could talk about. And so I just did a lot of research in it. And I actually went into it somewhat with an open mind in that, you know, I really didn't know, okay, how were the pyramids built or how was Baalbek built? And a lot of, in the sort of conspiracy Christian circles, there's a lot of kind of ideas that maybe the Nephilim or something had to do with it. And I really was like, okay, whatever, you know, let's just figure out what it was. And if it's the Nephilim, it's the Nephilim. And if it's, you know, people, it's people. And in my research over this last year, I became much more of a, if you will, a naturalist, in the sense that I do believe that ancient man was brilliant. And the way that they, these things with these megalithic sites and various issues like that, they were just brilliant. And I think most of the ancient astronaut theory, that is the idea that aliens came down here, seeded mankind and this whole thing, and aliens helped everybody build all these structures, is really based on the idea
that... Hold that thought, Chris. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Chris White, and he's put out a new DVD. It's Ancient Aliens. Is it debunked? Ancient Aliens Debunked?
That's correct.
And basically, let's get into the background of this, because certainly we see evidence of a very advanced civilization thousands of years ago. We see the pyramids. That those of you who have never been to Egypt and traveled down the Nile and seen these magnificent temples there, with certainly these beautiful pillars, certainly, and they've been there for thousands of years. How were they ever able to move those pillars? How were they able to get them erect and perfectly erect, so that most of them have been standing here for thousands of years? What happened before, and certainly, how does this tie into the story of the Bible? And so this is what Chris has tried to do. Put this all together for an understanding, because you can't understand what has happened, or you can't understand what's going on today, unless you understand certainly the background of what's happened. Are these aliens, certainly, did this knowledge come from some mysterious race from another world? Or is the Bible true, that there really was a civilization before the Great Flood, and that God actually destroyed that civilization because of the Nephilim and because it had become totally evil, and he wanted to start in all over again? Chris, I want your interpretation of the history of civilization, and of course of these ancient civilizations, not only certainly in Egypt, but in South America, the Mayas, the Aztecs, the Incas, all these advanced civilizations that existed long before modern civilization, that can actually accomplish things we would have difficulty accomplishing today. Go right ahead, Chris.
Right. So I think that most of the things that I found, and I really wanted to find whatever it was, if this was a pre-flood civilization or whatever it was, I just wanted to learn what I could learn. What I found is that most of what I found tended to be pretty standard in terms. I didn't go down the line. Let me give you a good example. The idea that the Sphinx was eroded, and I didn't cover this in the film, but it's something that I've done some research on. The Sphinx being eroded by water is one of the primary things that people will put forward, saying that there was the Sphinx must have been there some 10,000 years before the, and that of course before the Egyptologists say that it was there, which of course would be very, very much older than the flood, being 6,000 years if you do some math between the generations of Adam. But one thing I found about that one in particular, and again, I was amiable to the idea. If that was the way that it was, it was the way that it was. But what I found is actually this particular debate has been played out, unlike many of these issues, in scholarly journals. And to make a long story short, the water erosion is indeed true, but the water erosion that is shown in the pictures is actually not on the Sphinx. It's on the western side of the enclosure wall where the Sphinx is sitting. There's essentially a rectangle in which the Sphinx lies, and on the western side of that rectangle is where this water erosion is. There is some water, some different types of erosion on the Sphinx itself, but even the people that have proposed this theory have now conceded that erosion is probably due to some other issues that are still plaguing the site today. But nevertheless, there is a water erosion, and that actually predates the Sphinx, not by 10,000 years earlier, but rather by 400 years. And the reason is it's only on that western side is because it was runoff. The Giza Plateau is, in fact, a plateau. And when it would rain, that water actually drained right there at that western side of that wall. And that's why it doesn't appear in anywhere else. But there's other issues like that, like Puma Punku or Easter Island or the pyramids themselves. I found that most of them, for example, in the Americas, those were tradition. I mean, most of those, like the Incans and the pre-Andean cultures that built Puma Punku, were probably around the same time. If you want to look at it in terms of Egypt, it was about 1,000 years after Egypt had been around. It had long been gone in some senses, and so it's a pretty late culture in that regard. So it's not a terribly major thing to see, for example, copper working and so on, and bronze and alloyed tools being used on Puma Punku, because that was really well established stuff there. You know, the Egyptians had been doing it for thousands of years.
Let's stop. When did the Egyptians build the Great Pyramid? And they were told, of course, that these were tombs for the pharaoh. Other people say, no, these were simply centers of worship and had strong occult background. What right. is your opinion on who built the pyramids and why they were built?
My opinion changed drastically on who built the pyramids from exactly what you just described only a few months ago in the process of research, when I found the theory of a man named Jean-Pierre Houdon. Jean-Pierre Houdon is not an Egyptologist, but rather an eccentric French architect whose father started a work that he completed, essentially showing how the pyramids were built and explaining some of the most difficult problems that Egyptologists have had with the pyramids. Basically, to answer your question bluntly, I think that the pyramids were built for Khufu. So I take a very standard view of them being built by Khufu. One of the things that he proposes is that the pyramids, one of the problems with the traditional ideas of when the pyramids were built was the idea of the ramp theory. All the theories about how the pyramids are built are wrong, essentially. So it lends for a great deal of speculation about it, because the proposed theories are provably nonsensical in some ways. But he proposes something that actually has a great deal of physical proof. Basically, there was an internal ramp in the pyramid, not an external one, not a spiral ramp around it, but rather an internal ramp. This ramp was actually, the blocks were on a 7% grade. There was a flat platform at the top of the pyramid. On each corner, there were lifters that would actually lift the block to put it on a different skid for the second team, which is actually, that was what was recorded by Herodotus. To make a long story short, Herodotus mentioned that was being a part of the construction of the pyramids, but people have tried to extrapolate that to mean that they lifted every block that way, which is not true. A French team actually did what's called a gravimetric survey of the pyramid in the 80s, and they actually found evidence of this internal ramp, but they didn't know what to do with it until Jean-Pierre's theory came out. It's been validated in that way, but really one of the great things about it is the so-called Grand Gallery. The Grand Gallery is an exceedingly weird place. It doesn't make any sense for the way it's shaped that way, if it was just supposed to be a place to get from, you know, point A to point B, being the King's Chamber. It's a very vaulted ceiling that makes no sense.
Now, basically, could you describe this for our listeners? Because I've been in the Great Pyramid, and basically, after you get inside, there's a stairway up to the upper floor where the King's Chamber. There are two chambers up there, but of course, this is large passageway, and as you say, it's probably about 40 feet across and about 50 feet high, something like that. It's been a long time since I've been there. So tell me, what size is that sloping chamber that takes you from the entranceway up to the King's Chambers, or at least what we're told are the King's Chambers? And was the pyramid built as a tomb for the pharaohs, or did it have other occultic significance, or both?
Right. Well, probably both. But to make a long story short, to wrap those questions up and answer the one you just asked, the Grand Gallery is actually a place where they would actually lift the granite blocks for the roof supports for the King's Chamber. Basically, it was a counterweight system. It was basically a freight elevator. and there's evidence for this on the sides of the Grand Gallery. There's actually scratches and grease where the wooden skid had been greased. There's these holes on the sides of the Grand Gallery that was used to put these wooden support. At the very top of the staircase that you mentioned, there is a cemented over little block that when the first explorers were there, that was not cemented over. It was worn down in a very odd V shape. And that is exactly where the rope for this counterweight system would be. The best way to explain this to you is visually, and unfortunately, and that is done in the film Ancient Aliens Debunked in the pyramid section, which you can see. But to answer your question about it being a tomb, if you look at the other three pyramids, bluntly answered, I do think it was a tomb. The reason why there were three separate chambers only in the Great Pyramid, and I'll tell you why the other two didn't have this. The bottom chamber, it was basically whenever Khufu died, they were going to have to bury him. There was a certain amount of time that you had to bury him within. So the builder of the pyramids kind of planned for that in every stage. That's why the development of the bottom chamber underneath the bedrock, which is the way the other ones are done, and I'll explain why in a minute, that's why it's very unfinished. They knew right away they were not going to need that one under the bedrock, so they just left it. The queen's chamber was essentially going to be the king's chamber if he had died during that phase of the construction. And the king's chamber, of course, is where he ultimately was buried. The other two pyramids are different in that their burial chambers are actually underneath the bedrock. If you ever see sort of an X-ray of the other two pyramids, they're underneath the bedrock, which is much easier because you don't have to deal with the fact that there are hundreds and thousands of tons of rock above it. So you don't have to deal with the fact that if you were going to do what they did in the Great Pyramid, that is put the internal chambers in the middle of the pyramid, then it would require something to distribute the force away from that internal chamber, or it would very easily crush the chamber. So if you've seen these diagrams of the King's Chamber, you'll notice that there are four, I can't remember the number, of granite blocks. There's actually a great number of them side by side. And that at the top there is an apex.
Hold that thought. We've got about 1 minute more. Well, basically, what time period were these actually built? Do we have any idea? What time period?
Sure. I can get you that number, but it's basically Khufu's reign.
Which was what?
That is about 2500, somewhere around there, BC.
2500 BC. So this was shortly after Nimrod then. Nimrod was about 100 years or so before that.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, fine. And then, of course, basically, how did they get those great big enormous rocks? Where did they come from? Were they actually moved, certainly with levers? Were they moved on rollers? Basically, of course, it doesn't look like there's an awful lot of rock right around those pyramids. Or has the topography changed that much? We're going to be back in just a moment with Chris Wright, who has actually analyzed the building of the Great Pyramids and the other pyramids there in the heart of Egypt. And what is the, not only the physical, but spiritual significance? We'll be right back.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that...
Okay, fine. Well, Chris, you go ahead. And where did the knowledge come from for this really, of course, a remarkable engineering program? Go right ahead.
Great. You asked some terrific questions there before the breakup. Particularly, how do they move this one into stones? And there's some really interesting things specifically about the pyramid with that. The stones that they got the stones from, literally, the pyramids are sitting in a giant sandstone quarry. One of the largest sandstone quarries in Egypt. And you can actually see these massive places where they were quarried. In fact, Khufu's quarry is just a few, just not very far at all. I mean, it's in the quarry. But they also got limestone, as well as I mentioned the granite blocks for the roof supports over the king. Those did have to come from further off, and they were imported. But they actually dug a channel from the Nile to the construction site, where boats actually took those bigger imported blocks right to the construction site. So they did have to move these blocks, but they didn't have to move them very far. The movement of the blocks, most of the stone blocks in the pyramids were relatively small. I could say 98% of them, other than the granite blocks, were relatively small. I think about 2 or so tons, 2 to 5, less than that, some of them. But the point is they actually depict themselves moving these stones with wooden sleds. These wooden sleds are actually have been found. Three or four of them have been found. They have all these places to rig ropes to. There's one in the Egyptian Museum there. The reason they use sleds as opposed to wheels or anything in Egypt is because of the sand. And it actually would be, you know, relatively easy. Most of these blocks are shown being moved, like with one oxen or whatnot. But certainly people could do it too. Other issues, how to cut the stones and things like that, the Egyptians were brilliant at it. One of the best ways to see how the Egyptians cut the stones from the quarry is actually from known as the unfinished obelisk at Aswan. This is a massive obelisk in which you can see on the sides of this, they've taken this granite on either side of this obelisk by these diorite pounding stones. To make a long story short, they put slaves all around this thing, and they day after day pounded these things with diorite pounding stones, which is harder than granite. Therefore, it was able to break granite without breaking the pounding stone. And what develops is these trough-like depressions all the way down. And you can see these as clear as day if you're looking at the side of it, and you can see it in the video. But what I wanted to say to sort of answer a question that you asked earlier, where do they get the knowledge for this? Now, I do think that it's possible. When I did the research for this, this method, though it is not terribly mysterious, what is mysterious about it is that everybody used it. I mean, when I could talk about what I talk about in the film with the grinding of the stones, the way they did that, the way they did the drilling, everything. And it's not alien technology or anything, but they used it so consistently with Easter Island and the Americas and Egypt. Everybody used what I would say is virtually identical technique. One theory about that is a little, you know, like I think shamanism and people taking drugs often to contact demonic spirits for various reasons. It may be that among other things that they found out, for example, a lot of medicine, which drugs to take and which, you know, drugs to take to mix this to do all these different things that were done by demonic spirits.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Chris Wright. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Chris really believes, of course, that the pyramids built about 2400 B.C. Now, this is pretty close, somewhere 2400 B.C., pretty close to the time of the Great Flood. The Great Flood was probably about 2400, 2500 B.C. What's the relationship between the Flood and, of course, the building of the pyramid? There's not a lot of time there, maybe 100 to 200 years at the most. What are your thoughts?
Right. My thoughts on that are that I think that we're dealing with a literal 6,000 years and a literal 6 days. But here's the issue that I think might be interesting in to take into that unfortunately I don't think either the young Earth or the old Earth are taking into account, is that space and time are essentially unified in that. We know that, because of Einstein, we know that space and time are expanding, and they're going slower as it expands. And to make a long story short, if the universe is expanding and going slower as it expands, it follows that it was going much, much faster at its beginning, like towards the beginning of the Big Bang. Space and time was moving more quick. That is to say that time, not just our perception of time, but time itself is actually slowing down in a measurable way. Since we know how much the universe is declining, we actually can measure it. Now, I could talk more about that, but in the interest of time, I'll say this, that I think that, I guess I should say more about it, but I'll just say this. I think that we're dealing with a literal 6 days and a literal 6,000 years, but the perception of that is a little different. So I think something like Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, which is in Turkey where I would Noah's Ark probably was there. It's got pictures of animals on this thing that shouldn't be in Turkey. But archaeologists, unfortunately, you know, are dating that at around 9,000-10,000 years or something like that, BC. And that doesn't fit with any chronology. But I think that what we see around this time, and I think this has something to do with the ages as well that we're seeing in people as the biblical chronology progresses, I think that we're seeing just at that time, time was sort of, at that moment, just kind of getting to the level that it is now. I know this is complicated. There's a great, Gerald Schroeder wrote a book called The Science of God. He's the MIT professor that actually did some simple calculations with it. He is an Orthodox Jew. He's not a Christian, but his view on this is I think spot on. I could talk more about that if you wanted me to.
Well, basically, of course, we really don't want to get bogged down in that. Basically, of course, you're thinking that this, then the building was, what, about 2400 BC, BC, is this what you thought?
Yeah, I think so. And I think
and basically then, of course, certainly they had to move these blocks. I mean, I've been there. Some of those are awfully large blocks. They must weigh, how heavy are those blocks that make up the size of the Great Pyramid?
They are 1 to 5 tons varying, but there are blocks in Egypt. I mean, the unfinished obelisk that I mentioned, if they had ever released that from the quarry, that thing is like, would have been the largest stone ever moved. It would be about 1,200 tons. There are plenty of huge statues and things like that in Egypt. And the statues in Egypt have been shown. I mean, there's hieroglyphics showing the moving of those on massive sleds, massive people moving those, massive amounts of people moving those. There's rope that was found at these in these things where the circumference of the rope is absolutely massive. There's actually in the hieroglyphics of them moving, for example, these 500, 1,000 ton monuments that they were moving to their location on a sled, you can actually see them pouring water on the front of the sled to create the friction. Actually, something that you may have noticed in the Ten Commandments is a notable thing where they're actually pouring water in front of the sled of moving something like that. It's just a Hollywood sort of thing, but they did probably get that one right. The long and the short of it is that I think that just like it says in the Tower of Babel, that give men enough time and they can do a lot of things. You know, there's smart people come along with some pretty good ideas that, basically it's just gravity is what they have to overcome. And ingenuity is always going to be something that we excel at. As long as the problem with the ancient astronaut theory is that they assume that man is progressing and that they came from, apes or whatever, so they must therefore assume that ancient man was less smart than they are.
But basically, do you think that there was some sort of occult power that was harnessed? Do you think this was all done with physics?
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Do you think that there is an occult element to the building of these magnificent monuments?
Well, certainly the Egyptians were very, very occultic. We know that from the Exodus account, but I don't think that they necessarily used it in the building of these monuments. And their occult power was very, very real.
How long did it take to build the Great Pyramid? Are we talking about a matter of a year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years? What?
I think it's somewhere around 22 years. Don't correct me. Don't call me on that. But I think it's somewhere around there.
All right, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest Chris White, and we'll tell you how to get his material in just a moment.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that...
Well, Chris, you go right ahead.
Sure. And, this is something, the building techniques and things like that are often mentioned, things like baleback. That's one where I think we see the ingenuity of man really excel. This was the Roman period of construction. Although I had to sort of argue that in the film, because a lot of people do not believe that baleback was from the Roman period. There is indeed an ancient Canaanite site at the baleback site in Lebanon, which contains three absolutely massive stones called the Trilithon stones, which the largest of which is 800 tons. But nevertheless, the Romans were very, very skilled at moving massive blocks about the same size and shape. At that time in history, they were moving 500-ton obelisks from Egypt all the way to Rome, like it was nobody's business. We have writings from Romans like Marcus Petrullius Folio that detail the various things that Romans had invented to move stone. They even had cranes of 5-ton capacity, which they would connect one to another to give even greater capacity. Although with the baleback Trilithon stones, I don't think they even needed to lift them. It was a pretty slight incline. They just built a road and used some capstans and pulleys to basically drag them on rollers to the site. There's a great paper, a French paper, that I cite in the film. But there are a lot of things like that. The thing about the ancient aliens hypothesis is that it sort of relies on this stuff kind of being difficult to investigate. It's not automatic that we know how this stuff was done, and so it lends itself to a lot of different theories. But there's also an element of the ancient astronaut theories that are just plain deceptive, particularly those that are attacking Christianity, and they certainly do that. And in fact, as I watched, I don't know, countless hours of the show Ancient Aliens, I became convinced that they really did have a specific anti-Christian agenda, that it may even be the main thing that they were doing with the show. And it was always subtle. They were very, very good at it. But what they say, Dr. Stan, and I'm sure you've seen this with lots of different New Age ideas, is that they essentially get the person to believe that God of the Bible, particularly God of the Bible, he is evil, that he's an ancient alien that wanted nothing more than to harm us and kill us. He didn't want us to be enlightened, because, of course, you imagine what their view is that ancient man was genetically modified from Neanderthal. So Neanderthal was there, the aliens came in, and they genetically modified us and made us what we are today, smart, intelligent.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Chris White. We're talking about his book on the ancient aliens debunked, and basically the whole idea is that we've been told, of course, it was the ancient aliens that created the modern race, and basically this is all a cover. I believe a demonic cover. The one thing they don't want people to understand is there is a spiritual battle taking place. There really are demonic forces in the world. Mankind did not come from aliens from another planet. They were here. They were put here by God. But there has always been this counterforce, and God has allowed this counterforce to exist. And this, of course, is truly demonic. And there is supernatural powers in the world. We live in certainly a visible world, but there's an invisible world. We live in a material world. There's a mystical world. We live in certainly a subjective world. There is a spiritual world out there, and you really can't understand so much of what's going on unless you understand the fact that there is a supernatural, but we don't need supernatural knowledge necessarily to explain the building of the pyramids and the Sphinx and so many of the other major things that have taken place, the moving of the obelisks, the moving of these great stones from their quarries in Egypt into Rome itself. If you've ever been to Rome, well, you see these ruins of these magnificent buildings. You see the roads outside of Rome, the cobblestone roads that extended all the way to the Holy Land. I mean, they had an amazing, intricate society, and certainly a very well-organized and controlled society. And yet that magnificent society of Rome that had extensions into Great Britain, had extensions all over Europe, that whole thing came tumbling down, certainly in at least the western half of the empire, in 468 in there?
Somewhere around there.
Well, I'm going to let Chris, before we go on, Chris, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get hold of you and how they can get your information, and then pick up the story from there.
Sure. The film can be seen at AncientAliensDebunked.com. It's totally free. You can see it online. The only thing I would ask is that if you know somebody that has fallen for this ancient astronaut theory, especially if their faith has been hurt by it, then you would send it to them, or send them a link, or put it on Facebook or something like that. So that's AncientAliensDebunked.com. You're mentioning a few different things that were notable there. One is that what you said about the supernatural is something that you say often, and of course I agree with you, but it's really interesting in this idea that the supernatural aspect of this, if you deny that it's there, you can't explain the evidence for a lot of these things. It was easy to sort of discredit some of the things they said. You know, they said things about the Nazca lines and the UFOs and art and different things that were easy to discredit. Ancient nuclear warfare, which was based on a 1952 channeled text, but nevertheless, they said a lot of things that were easy to discredit. But then there were certain things that they say about the Nephilim, or although they have the Anunnaki is a long story, but there's certain things that cannot be explained unless you understand that something supernatural did happen. The ancient astronaut theory essentially says oh, no, no, nothing supernatural can happen. Therefore, any consistencies in these ancient texts about, you know, supernatural things happening must be explained with, you know, technology, aliens, and that sort of thing. So it's really a naturalistic worldview that that refuses to believe anything supernatural. But, you know, Dr. Stan, I found that there was no, and I got so much heat from this, from the critics about this, because I essentially said regarding the similarities in ancient texts, as many of your listeners probably know, there are similarities in, for example, most of the Near East texts and all over the world about things like Noah's flood. Of course, they don't call it Noah's flood in the different mythologies, but it's not just the flood. It's also a hybridization, because the gods came down. Usually they saw the women fair, and all this story is also included. And ironically, also the story that the gods who originally transgressed in that way were put into an abyss prison. You'd be surprised how consistent that is in different places, China and the Mayans and Viracocha and not just in everything else. And so most people say, well, therefore, that means that the Bible sort of copied these stories, but that's not what the scholars believe anymore. The scholars now know that there is no evidence that they borrowed the writings from one another. In other words, there's no literary evidence of borrowing. That is to say, that the Hebrew writers, scribes, didn't look at a copy of the Sumerian text, though they were earlier, and say, okay, let's copy that. What they now believe is that somehow or another, all these cultures were basing this story off of more ancient, either what they'll say is two options. It's either a more ancient, unknown text, a text that's older than all of them that we don't know about, or it's some sort of actual event. That's what the critical scholars are saying now. And the problem with the people with a naturalistic worldview is that none of those options make sense to their worldview. Because, for example, if you say, oh, they were just based off an unknown ancient text, then you have a massive problem with the evolutionary theory, because all these cultures, before their migration, you know, put them in rewind, and you go back to wherever they were at the beginning, that means that they were there and that they were coherent enough to look at this ancient text, decide that that was what they were going to believe and teach their children, and then they would move to all their different migrations and then independently evolve and everything else. That doesn't make any sense. There are other problems that I could go into with this, but to make a long story short, it is impossible to describe with accuracy these similarities in ancient texts unless something like this really happened. And, of course, I propose in the film that this really did happen. All this would make sense if 8 people really did get off a boat somewhere in Turkey and their descendants were taught that this, you know, the theology of Noah, which would have been great theology, because Noah, of course, if you do the math, he lived at the same time as Adam. He could have even interviewed Adam. So he was only, 7 or 8 generations from the beginning. To make a long story short, the ancient world had originally good theology, but as they went and became paganized, they essentially turned it into what I might call the cult of Noah. A good example of that is Viracocha in South America. The story of Viracocha is that Viracocha came from a sea. He's a white, bearded man that comes from the sea, and he... they kind of, just like the Anunnaki and the Sumerians, they always confuse and mix together the creation story and the flood story, which is reasonable if you think about it, because they're answering the question, where did we come from, you know, Grandpa? And he would say, well, you know, we came from this boat, and, you know, we were created by so-and-so. It kind of mixes together in their story. But to make the story quicker, Viracocha says that God created man into small stones, and he breathed life into these small stones, and he breathed life into big stones. They became giants. He was not happy with the giant, so he sent a flood and destroyed the giant. Then he created smaller humans with smaller stones and then spread them out all over the world. That's almost an identical variation of the story of the Sumerians, which also believe that these gods, in their case angels, came down. Of course, they don't call them angels, but if you listen to what they think that they are, they're clearly angels. They came down, they created this hybrid, which was a bad thing. That hybrid race that they created, as they put it, made the noise made the gods angry, so the gods sent a flood to destroy them. In that case, you have animals on the boat, you have the whole 9 yards. But that's a similar thing in China. It's everywhere. In that case, those original, well, I won't go into it too much more, but it's very, very similar, and this this idea of the ancient aliens can't really be understood unless you really have an understanding of what the Bible says so plainly, has been saying so plainly this whole time. Truth, no matter how hard or how long you look for it, it's always been in the Bible. You know, it's been there the whole time. We just had to make the long road to get back to it. But yeah, there are so many things like that. For example, I'll make a list or just quickly say some of the things that are covered in the film.
Well, before we do that, I just wanted to check on one thing. Basically, do they have some sort of a flood story in China? Do they have some sort of a flood story in South America to explain the origin of man?
Yeah, they're everywhere. There are flood stories. It's almost okay to say there is a flood story in every culture ever, every ancient culture ever. That's a little bit too much hyperbole, but it's not too far off. And the ones in China, it's actually interesting, Dr. Stan, that I had somebody come to my defense recently that was an atheist. One of the big skeptic magazines, which of course are very atheist, wrote kind of a thing against this movie saying, you know, it was a good movie and everything except when it talked about this issue. And then it said, you know, it tried to downplay the floods in particular in China. And another atheist wrote an article against that other atheist saying, look, you know, we're never going to get very far if you downplay these flood myths. And he goes through the details and showing this China, you can't get around this Chinese flood myth. It's very particular. It's something we need to deal with. And I thought that was really a great step forward for people discussing this, because honestly, what people try to do is try to pretend that they don't exist. But once you start digging around to see what they actually said, they have details in there that are not mistakable. For example, you know, letting a dove or a raven out to go find land and coming back with something in its mouth, or the sacrifice in the rainbow, or these different elements that are clearly the same. Now, you can talk about the dissimilarities all the time, but when you look at the similarities, it's clear that it doesn't matter where you are. And, of course, the idea of the Chinese flood is often the word for boat is actually a big boat with eight people on it. The word for big boat in China, you know how the ancient Chinese script is basically a pictorial form, has eight people on a boat, a big boat. And there's other things like that in Chinese script that has long been shown to have some sort of knowledge of this in ancient past.
Well, Chris, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your film, how they can get copies of it, okay?
Sure. Yeah, the best way to get a copy of the film is to go to Ancient Aliens Debunked, and there's a section called Download there, and it shows you how to essentially make your own DVD. At the moment, I've decided not to actually sell DVDs of this, and I don't think I will in the future. I think this is the best way to do it. So ancientaliensdebunked.com. And also, there's a blog there which goes into a lot of details and things that I didn't cover in the film. The film is 3 hours long. I don't think I mentioned yet that I also included interviews from Dr. Michael Heiser, who is very prominent in this field of debunking ancient aliens. And so I was really happy to have him on board. He came to Nashville, and we had a great time making this movie, or this interview section.
Well, how in the world are you able to finance something like this without simply external help or without charging for it? Certainly, this must have been a momentous job on your part to put together this this DVD.
It is. It's a labor of love. It's something that I think in total, depending on how you look at it, it probably was about 15. I don't know how many a lot of money to make, but it was something that it was part of just the money that I was putting back into it. And then people did donate money for the making of it as well. Just a little bit here and there, and every little bit helps and all that stuff. But what I kind of think of it like this, Dan, is that if it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's bill. And sometimes I take off on things that I don't have any, really way to pay for, but I figure if it's something that he wants done, he'll find a way to get me the money needed to do it. And if he doesn't want it done, then he'll just cut that off.
So that's sort of the way it is with Radio Liberty, and why we're on stations all across America, and why we can be heard throughout the world, because it's the Lord's work, and all we do is simply do the best we can. Well, go ahead and pick up the story. So basically, you're talking about the fact that there are similar stories of a great flood all throughout the world. And, of course, we're trying to explain, really, because what has really happened. And, of course, the whole idea that the atheists will try to convince us that the aliens came from other planets and planted life on Earth here. Of course, they can never tell you where the life on the other planets came from. But the one thing they want to do is discredit the idea that there really is a God who has established this world and has a plan for it. Go right ahead, Chris.
Very insightful. And I think that the thing is about this idea is that it's such a powerful thing to get people to do all the things that Satan is really hoping that they'll do. Number one, to abandon any kind of idea of God. If they have, for some reason, people believe that, you know, if this was true, if aliens existed, then automatically God doesn't. Now, I don't know if there's life on other planets or not, but I do know that if there was life on other planets, it wouldn't make the Bible not true or anything. The Bible doesn't say that there isn't, and, you know, we could wax philosophical all day about that. But one thing that's interesting is that the public really believes that. But what's worse is that what this does is it does what the New Age has been trying to do for how many years, is they get people to believe that there's a coming evolution just around the horizon. They accomplish this, as I've mentioned, by saying that people are genetically modified by aliens in the ancient past. What that does is it makes people believe that these smart, just more evolved people with technology kind of came in and tweaked this a little bit. And what that makes them think, kind of subconsciously, if not consciously, is that we can one day be like them. That if we just keep on the path and we keep evolving, we will eventually become like them. And so it really sets the stage for this idea that they are somehow the to do with our supposed coming evolution. I particularly think that in the end times, the Antichrist will play somehow or another on this idea that the New Age is here, that our evolution is within reach, but there are some people, namely Christians, who are still holding on to the old age and really believe all these things that have now been proven true because, you know, proven untrue, rather. And I do think it's very possible, I'm not saying this is how it could happen, but I think it could make the Lord's word be true that says, you know, when they kill you, they'll think they're doing the world a favor, or how he said that, it eludes me at the moment, paraphrasing, that there's a genocide coming of people, and I think that genocide will be those that are making the world think that their evolution is not near. And I know I'm getting off track there, so I'll get back on track. The ideas, I think, mostly are somewhat I have a somewhat conspiratorial belief in the genesis of this idea, particularly what I just talked about with the idea of genetic modification of mankind, that came from the writings of a man named Zachariah Sitchin, who said he was the greatest, you know, Sumerian scholar ever. Mike Heiser, who has the website SitchinIsWrong.com, who appears in the film, notes that he's never shown any credentials. The best anybody can ever find is that he has a journalism degree. But we now know Sitchin wrote in the 70s and 80s when nobody could check his facts about his supposed Sumerian translation. But nowadays, there's been a 90-year project to catalog every single Sumerian word with the Chicago Assyrian Dictionary. It's all online. We can search it, and we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Sitchin was not only wrong about his translation, but he was also being somewhat deceptive. I personally don't think there's a way out of it. Sitchin was knowingly deceiving people about this.
There's a conscious effort to confuse us, ladies and gentlemen, because the last thing that certain people want is for people to understand there is a God, and it's directed the course of world events. We're living in exciting times, and I really believe that the history of the world is coming to a climax sometime in the foreseeable future. We're seeing the fulfillment of prophecies as we're moving towards another war in the Middle East. You read Revelation, read Ezekiel 38 and 39, I should say. You find the very nations that are named there 2,600 years ago are lining up against Israel today. Right ahead, Chris. You've got 3 minutes before we have to let you go.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I would think I'd probably just encourage people about this. The reason I made this film, Ancient Aliens Debunked, is because a third of the population, I mean, in a 2008 poll, a third of people believe that aliens have come here and have come to Earth. That's down from, I think it was 50%. I think it's more people now in Britain. I just saw a poll the other day. More people in Britain believe in aliens than believe in God. And that's a pretty interesting stat. But this is going, the reason I think Satan is pushing this particular one so hard, it could be a number of reasons, but I think it's because it just works so well. It really does have the effect, when this entire theory in itself, has the effect of making people abandon their faith. And that's the reason that I did this film. And I made it in the way that I did. The film has 252 footnotes on the website. The website is essentially a transcript and footnote companion to the movie. And it's for your skeptical friend or family member that believes in this theory. And so I encourage you to check it out. It's a 3-hour film. It contains just about every major ancient astronaut theory thing that ancient aliens puts out. And it deals with all of the major ones. So I encourage people to use it for that purpose, to use it for those people that have abandoned their faith. People like myself who early on abandoned faith because of this. And I would just encourage you also to begin to pray for that person as you show this, and maybe it'll plant a seed. I've certainly heard many, many good stories in that regard since this movie has come out.
I think it's vitally important that we point people in the right direction to make them understand that our minds are being conditioned to accept things that really aren't true. And this whole idea of UFOs and coming from another dimension, coming from another planet, I believe they are real, but I think they come from another dimension, not from another planet. Would you agree?
I would agree. And I think that most of the alien abduction phenomenon is a result of that. It actually parallels something called sleep paralysis. To make one issue with the Harvard studies on alien abduction, they found that so many of the people that were having alien abduction experiences were into the occult, like hardcore into the occult, that they actually had to come up with a different survey called the Paranormal Belief Scale, which was given to people that said they had alien abduction to see if they were on this scale. The questions were like, do you practice black magic and things like that? What I'm trying to say is that there is a direct correlation between occult activity and the ability for these beings,
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's been Chris White. We've been talking about his film, Ancient Aliens Debunked. Ancient Aliens Debunked. You can get it on the internet. Chris, we got to get you back again because I think you just scratched the surface. I agree with you. Certainly, there's an organized effort to make us believe, of course, that life came from aliens and from another planet. They do not want people to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And, of course, the supernatural phenomena that we're seeing are related to the spiritual battle that's taking place. Good night, God bless, and thanks very much for being with us. Great program.
Thank you, Stan. It was my pleasure.
God bless. Okay, well, that was Chris White, and we do hope, of course, you'll want to get a copy of this DVD, pardon me, a copy of this audio tape. You can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and pull it down. And certainly, that'll be archived in a day or two. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a supernatural world out there. We live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a subjective world, but there's certainly a spiritual world. We live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. And until you can understand the spiritual nature of what's going on today, very little makes sense. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hear my talk on the dark secret and on the forbidden secret. That's the dark secret and on the forbidden secret. And then finally, I suggest my talk. These are DVDs on going into the background of Agenda. It's called Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. That's enough to get you started. give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, I want to point out that if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America on a number of stations, both afternoon and evening programs, the weekend program, why, we'd love to hear from you. You can advertise with us. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can simply get our products, whatever you'd like to do. We actually, of course, say Miracle 2 soap products. We sell certainly health products. We have some excellent health products. We have the Berkey products, which we actually market here. We have certainly videos and DVDs and tape sets and certainly CD sets and books. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at the items we have. There's a recurrent theme. What is it? We're involved in a spiritual battle. Yes, it's being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle for the survival of Christian civilization and the souls of men. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com, where you can read our newsletters going back almost 20 years. You can watch our DVDs and our videos. You can listen to our tape sets and to our CDs. And we have all tape sets and CDs on almost every subject. You must understand there's an organized effort to poison our children with vaccines and to poison the elderly and to kill off the majority of the people in the world. You need to get my talk, The Specter Haunting America. The Specter Haunting America goes in the background of vaccines. We have books on vaccines. We have other tape sets put together on vaccines. They're all available by going to our website at RadioLiberty.com. To understand how they're poisoning the air and poisoning us, you need to get our DVD on geoengineering with Rosalind Peterson. You must understand that they're certainly they're poisoning the air, but they're also poisoning our food with GMOs, and we have a four-tape set on GMOs. We have certainly Jeffrey Smith's books on genetically modified food, and there's so many other things they're doing to poison our environment. There is a population control agenda. They really do intend to kill off the majority of the people in the world. If you haven't read my treatise, Population Control Agenda, it's available on the internet. That's Population Control Agenda. Just type that in on your search engine or go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. The Population Control Agenda is on my website, and it's just an introduction to this totally evil program, which I describe very well in my talk, Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 31 October 2012. It is Wednesday. You know, that day. We're going to be dealing with that day today. We're going to be talking in terms of pagan holiday. We're going to have Lou White join us for about 30 minutes. And then what a surprise we have for you in the last 30 minutes of this program. I'll tell you, in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Patricia Jordan, talking about some unbelievable information on vaccines that she has found people should be aware of, both in animals and humans.
I mean, this woman is really at the vaccine industry. She is going after them, and she says it will not be long before the game is over with vaccines. And we'll tell you why in the second hour. In the third hour, Lou White is going to talk about the pagan history of Halloween.